In this episode, we return to the Nicolas Cage well that never runs dry. We discuss Drive Angry. And check us out all this week at slapdashradio.com as one of their featured podcasts. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
I am Elliot Kalin.
Yeah, two in a row with all of us here.
We did it. We did it.
I should stop making a big deal out of.
Yeah, because it's just a normal thing.
Sure. I mean, we're the host of this program, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like when the Yankees play a game that they're like, today, the whole team is here. Like, it's supposed to be a big special occasion.
The Yankees featuring the Yankees. Yeah.
No fill-in
surprise
players.
Guest.
This
Yankees
Broadway
players.
Show, no understudies. Repeat, no understudies.
Yeah, they don't make a big announcement about it.
All right, well,
I guess
you're starting a new thing.
I guess you're still giddy from your new job.
Yeah, well.
You got a new job?
We went over this last week, Stuart.
Okay. I'll listen to the tape.
Labored bit, but
we'll be the judge of this.
Yeah, yakety yak. I'll listen to the tape later.
Okay.
Okay. So what are we talking about today?
What did we talk about?
Where are we going? What are we talking about?
Set a roadmap.
We talked about the fact that I met a man named Rufio the other day.
Well, that's probably going to be in the outtakes. So there's nothing that's been set up so far on the podcast about that.
I'll tell you what.
You going to cut that out? That's gold, dude.
No, it's not. why don't we pull out the map,
okay,
and get in the car, because we've got some driving to do, don't we, Dan?
Click vroom vroom vroom. Huh?
I was trying to
set you up to say the name of the movie we watched. Instead, I don't know what you were doing.
He was doing some Foley artist
decided to play act.
Did you just say doing some zounds?
Yes.
Doing some zounds.
You know, just impressing some wizards and knights.
You're pronouncing that strange.
So what movie did we watch, Dan?
It was called Drive Angry
3D.
No,
Radar.
Playing at?
Nowhere.
Dan's television.
Well, it wasn't 3D, was it?
It was originally
not on
in
Dan's
3D.
TV. No, okay. All movies are originally in 3D.
It was directed.
Then they're shot onto 2D celluloid.
Okay,
but they all
explain more.
Except for animated cartoons, they all
say
star.
Explain more. I can explain more, Elliot.
After the show, what is this thing called love? I want to know. But as for now, yes, Drive Angry 3D, directed by Patrick Lussier. Okay. Who directed the 3D My Bloody Valentine as well.
Okay.
He's really specializing in 3D.
He's specializing in 3D films with extended full nude scenes of women. I mean, this is not as extended as in My Bloody Valentine.
Someday he hopes to make it to the full nude scenes of men in 3D movies. There's more to 3D with.
Yeah.
It's a more exciting 3D experience.
I mean, it's a pointier 3D.
Yeah. Wait, what are we are we talking about doing, like, shooting guys naked in 3D?
That wow. is what happened in this movie.
Okay.
More questions than usual from Stuart.
Were you
I'm
here?
Angry.
Okay, would you like me to explain what this movie
Please
is about?
Do.
Drive Angry 3D stars one Nicolas Cageworth.
Okay.
Who stars.
He is a Flophouse favorite.
Flophouse favorite, star of.
You'll add a sound effect later, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Flophouse favorite. I have to assume that he has starred in more Flophouse movies than anyone
yeah,
else.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cage is in the Flophouse Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage's
Hall
hair
of fame.
Is also in it.
intellectual property though.
Didn't but I can't, to say that. Come on, it's parody. It's protected by the First Amendment.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yours is the Flophouse louse cat.
he's mad because he's covered in lice.
Yeah,
I could see why I'd be rowing.
Yep. Anywho, Nicolas Cage is in hell, and
okay.
he escapes with a muscle car.
Yeah, sure.
He drives out of hell.
Drives out of hell.
He's like a bat out of hell.
He's like a bat out of hell if by bat it's a man driving a car across a bridge.
Yep.
Because hell looks like Detroit, but red. Yeah. Just a lot of crumbling industrial landscapes. So he escapes from hell, and it's because – should I just explain? I don't want to
– Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just explain real quick.
He is trying to get revenge on the man who killed his daughter and stole his daughter's baby, Nicolas Cage's grandbaby. And
I don't know, dude. He can play 25. He doesn't need to have a grandbaby.
No, he cannot play 25.
Like 26?
No, I don't think that's – Okay. But well, we'll and talk about that the one. Guy who did it is a –
I mean, he's blonde in the movie.
Yes, he has frosted tips. The guy who did it is
a leather jacket. Only young people wear those.
And sunglasses. But he also smokes a cigar, which old people do.
True.
But he only smoked it while having sex, which young people do.
But he had sex fully clothed because he's afraid of showing his belly, which old people do.
But he had sex while wearing sunglasses, which only young people
no,
do.
No, which only Spuds McKenzie does.
The original party animal, TMs.
Nicolas Cage has to stop the guy who committed these crimes, who is a cult leader, who's kind of like if a Bruce McCullough character from Kids in the Hall was taken seriously. Yeah. Like he's got a tiny little soul patch goatee and a heavy southern accent, and he carries around a walking stick made out of a femur.
Well, I'm glad you took him seriously.
Yeah, like a red silk shirt on.
And he wears a red silk shirt, and he's got a pentagram necklace that he's constantly being stabbed with.
It's the problem with one of those cool necklaces.
Along the way, Nicolas Cage picks up a sidekick in – what's her name? Amber Heard?
Amber Heard. Very attractive young lass, famed Hollywood lesbian, Amber Heard. That's all I know about Amber Heard.
Yep, she's right up there with Marlena Dietrich.
Yep.
Who was bi. Anyway.
Thanks for the...
That's a little classic Hollywood sex knowledge.
Yep.
Amber Heard is a waitress at a diner.
Sure.
Called Fat Lou's. She gets in a fight with her boyfriend, who she catches having sex with another woman. And he is some kind of like southern white trash guy who really doesn't deserve a woman who looks like Amber Heard. Mm-hmm. He starts hitting her. Nicolas Cage's woman in trouble sense flares up.
Sure.
And he comes over and beats up that guy. And they take the boyfriend's car, which has a license plate that says Dr. Vangry. I didn't understand. D-R-V-A-N-G-R-Y. Dr. Vangry.
He stole it from a dentist. You know, like
Anton Vangry.
Vangry.
Orthodontist.
Anton Q. Vangry.
And Anton Vangry DDS. And they go on a...
The car is a bumper sticker.
That says...
says, I break for pussy.
That's when I realized this movie might be trying too hard.
Okay.
They go to track down this cult member, but they're also being followed.
Available at Spencer's Gifts.
Really? That bumper sticker is?
Yeah, and DVD copies of this movie. Not the Blu-ray, though.
Right next to a t-shirt of an angry bootleg Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah.
Stuart has a lucrative Spencer's Gifts sponsorship deal. Sure.
Yep, that's why he's mentioned it once in several years.
He doesn't want to overplay his hand.
They only pay him in pornographic greeting cards for women, so not really eager to get paid.
Yeah, if he gets it up to two mentions, he gets one of those electronic things that shoot out beams to your fingers when you put it on.
Yeah, Van de Graaff generators. I believe they're called, but I could be wrong about that.
And truck nuts.
Yeah,
which were surprisingly absent in a movie called Drive Angry.
Yeah, that's true. I'm surprised we didn't see any truck nuts, but we did see.
So Drive Angry, no truck nuts.
I'm not done with the plot yet.
I thought we were summarizing.
Nicolas Cage is also being chased.
Okay.
By a man known only as the accountant.
Sure.
Played by.
Well, William Fichtner.
Fichtner.
You may people who are not familiar with him may know him as the guy in The Dark Knight who at the beginning. Has a shotgun and tells the Joker that he's going to die because he's stealing mob money.
He's the bad guy in Armageddon.
The bad guy in Armageddon is a meteor.
No, he's the bad guy in Armageddon. He's the guy who like tries to cause trouble and he dies or something.
Big forehead, stringy hair, and lizard eyes.
He looks kind
of
like
charm.
He looks like the robot character from that Jim Henson primetime Muppet show from the 90s.
He does look like that.
That's what I think of every time
Muppets
I see him.
Muppets Tonight.
That's what it's called. The one that had a Rastafarian baboon.
Yeah.
And I don't think they understood how racist that is. How offensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the accountant is also chasing Nicolas Cage, but not really trying very hard at it. He's almost always on foot, and he'll kind of show up where Nicolas Cage is, watch Nicolas Cage escape, and then just kind of follow him again.
He knows he doesn't need to sweat it too much. I mean,
he's not at all. He's lazy. He's not doing it his job.
I don't know if he can sweat either. I mean, I think he's a supernatural creature.
That's a very good point. And he lives in hell, so if he can't take the heat,
maybe he just wants to take.
He's wearing a
full suit because
he
lives in hell. He likes to like drag his feet a little bit on his job.
Really? Oh, it's like he doesn't want to come back home yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Maybe he's got a wife in hell. I mean, it is hell, you know. Oh. I mean, I'm not married yet.
Wow, and I can see the marriage is going to go great.
Sure.
But Stewart's marriage is going to be like a Lockhorn's cartoon.
My concepts of marriage is based primarily off of the sitcoms My Wife and Kids and Still Standing.
What about Yes, Dear?
Yes, Dear, a little bit. I would be the guy with the baseball cap.
Okay. Isn't that like every guy in the show?
No, I thought only one guy has a baseball cap on that show.
That's his distinguishing characteristic.
So, to go on.
Basically,
nobody has a baseball cap in this movie.
It's just a bunch of characters
or
chasing each other.
No.
There's a lot of action. There's a little bit of nudity.
There's some really good haircuts.
There's Nicolas Cage
and wigs.
There's a
for a modern film. There's a fair amount of nudity, I would say.
But if
which
you compare,
just says more about modern films.
But compared to like Trading Places,
sure.
There's not an elaborate amount of nudity in this. And in the end, Nicolas Cage gets his revenge, and he and the accountant become pals to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And Amber Heard has a baby foisted on her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here you go.
And then she goes to live with David Morse.
And David Morse, who is Nicolas Cage's old-time buddy who runs a demolition service.
Yeah.
And then what were you saying?
Oh, I just, you know, that's the thing that all young women want is a baby.
Well, when they get to that age. Mm. And Nicolas Cage also has a gun called the God Killer, which can – it's one of those weapons where it's like once you shoot someone with that, they cease to exist.
In the most 3D fashion possible.
Yeah, that the scene where the villain gets shot with the God Killer, spoiler alert, the villain loses, is
the least intimidating villain outside of a Bad Boys movie.
The effects are like something out of like – a Full Moon Entertainment movie from like the early 90s. Sure. They're great in their shoddiness. There's a lot of CGI in this. A lot of CGI blood, CGI bullets, CGI glass out of a mirror, CGI cars.
I have expected one of the cars from the movie Cars to show up and do a barrel roll over Nicolas Cage.
There's a scene where the accountant is driving a truck full of hydrogen to break up a roadblock that is stopping Nicolas Cage from getting to the cult leader. This is after the accountant has been working with the police to stop Nicolas Cage, so I don't know why. He kind of explains it later why he changed his mind, but it really doesn't make sense. But
he's a supernatural being, Elliot. We can't fathom the depths of his plans. You know?
But nothing in the scene looks real or like it existed even in the same computer as the other things in the scene.
Sure.
It's all so computery.
Like somebody was playing like a TurboGrafx-16, and then they were also playing a current video game system is, and somehow
you have a current video game system.
Yeah, one of those Xboxes. So you merged, like, somehow you mash them together.
I love that TurboGrafx-16 came to mind immediately. But something that is advertised on television every day.
Stuart just got too lazy to finish the thought. It's like, you know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Video games.
Is this a bit?
Someone's Virtual Boy got mixed up with their Lynx.
Yep. Their Sega CD.
And their ColecoVision.
Their 32X and their Philips CDI.
Playing against a Neo Geo. Is this video game talk?
Like, I guess this is now the video game house.
Game Boy Color.
32X.
So, yeah, I would like to talk about, what was his name? The accountant? What was that his
Fichtner.
Thing? Yeah,
Fichtner. The accountant. Who goes around killing people that Nicolas Cage forgot to kill.
What was his motivation?
Basically.
And leads to the death. Here's the other thing is, at one point, these two policemen team up with the accountant to stop Nicolas Cage, and Amber Heard murders them. Shoots them. And, like, they are about to shoot Nicolas Cage, but – and throughout the movie, they'll make jokes about, like, you're a wanted woman. You killed two policemen. Oh, I guess those police are scared of you. You killed two policemen. And it's like, that's not a joke.
Yeah.
Like, they were working with the bad guy, but they didn't know he was from hell.
They're misled.
Yeah, they were lied to.
He's an FBI agent.
Like, it's never okay for the hero to kill two policemen.
He magicked them or something, right?
He kind of cast a charm on them.
Like a
glamour.
Yeah, he cast a glamour on them.
It's probably not – it's probably not their fault they were shooting at Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but they're dead now.
Well,
anyway,
it's like the Death Star exploding and killing people.
Thanks, Kevin Smith.
Well, I mean, I cribbed a little bit, but I mean,
those people were all in the Imperial Army.
Okay. So,
get it.
Skip. So, no, I don't understand.
Interrupt.
And,
stop talking.
Fichtner's his motivation. His motivation from scene to scene. Because as you point out, he's trying to kill Nicolas Cage. And then he swoops in right when the police are expressly going to kill him. Like, the police chief is like, shoot him in the head. And so he swoops in, saves him.
Well, here's the thing. There's a scene. It's implied that the accountant doesn't know that these are Satanists who are going to kill a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And once – there's a scene where he interrogates a man with hilarious hair. And yeah. Once he finds out that there are he talks that the devil doesn't like Satanists. He finds them offensive. So I guess he decides he's going to let Nicolas Cage get revenge on these Satanists and then take him back to hell.
Right.
But he keeps chasing him and delaying him from getting his revenge. He's really at cross purposes.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing that I found kind of confusing about the movie.
To quote Walt Whitman, does he contradict himself? Very well, he contradicts himself. He contains multitudes.
Beautiful.
I paraphrased.
But
leaves of grass.
One of the things I also sort of like found confusing about the movie was initially I thought it was cool that, okay, you have this real devilish character, like this real character from hell following Nicolas Cage.
Sure.
And then
a Saint of Killers type fellow.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But Nicolas Cage is trying to track down these Satanists who are throughout like the early part of the movie, like made out to be like sort of buffoons, like they're just like a cult.
Yeah, and then by the end of it they're buffoons too.
Yeah, but it's clear through what William Fichtner says, like, okay, these, you know, like Satan doesn't like you guys, like you have no real, but then like at the end it seemed like they might have some sort of mystical powers, like they implied at the end that their ritual was going to do something, and then
I don't
at the
know.
End
they
he
left,
was like
they left it ambiguous. They were going to kill the baby on the light of a full moon,
mm-hmm.
And that was somehow going to bring hell on earth and make them all live forever and change the world.
Well, and then the guy said, "Like I got powers. Like no, nothing on earth can kill me." He's like, "I'm not from the earth." And she's,
yeah, I think
like,
that was just boasting.
I guess.
It's just
combined with a chance for Nicolas Cage to say something badass before killing the guy in the most CGI way possible.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was. I think it was a setup for the line.
I just don't think there's any reason to like muddy it up because it's so much cooler to have like these stupid,
idiot hillbilly cultists.
Yeah, who like actually have no power, and then like they get tangled into something that actually involves someone from hell.
See, that would be a more interesting movie. Is like a shitty cult that gets caught up accidentally in a real hell thing, and they don't know what to do, and they're way over their heads.
Are we stepping into other podcast territory on how to fix this movie?
I'm not saying how to fix it.
Okay. It sounded kind of like you were.
Is that another podcast?
How to fix this movie?
Yeah, I thought there was another podcast.
It's called Fix This Movie.
Please.
Well, somebody should, because it wasn't very good. I mean, spoiler alert for a couple of minutes.
Well, this was one that we were holding out hopes that we would like. And yeah. I enjoyed parts of it. It's just as it went on, it was clear it didn't have a lot. It
you
ran
really
out of
like
ideas.
The slow motion 3D parts, right?
Oh, I love those, yeah. Anything with fake blood that is 3D and CGI and it moves slowly and the camera zooms in on someone's face in a really fake way and then zooms out again. Oh, that's just... Oh, I could watch that a million times. That's like Orson Welles plus Alfred Hitchcock times a billion.
I mean,
that's just the best stuff. Sarcasm.
It was a pretty great scene when the totally nude waitress was very enthusiastically thrusting on the
fully clothed,
immobile Nicolas Cage.
Immobile Nicolas Cage, fully clothed, wearing sunglasses, smoking a cigar, and holding a bottle of Jack Daniels.
And a pistol.
They do the having sex during a shootout scene from Shoot 'Em Up, but Nicolas Cage is so much less interested in the sex than Clive Owen was in Shoot 'Em Up. And there's way more, and the nudity is so much more graphic.
Yes.
But at the same time, something that comes up is that since Nicolas Cage is dead already, he can't be killed again. He gets shot through the eye. He gets shot in the chest.
All over the place.
But it means that this poor woman who's as vulnerable as you can be in a shootout, naked and in the throes of passion, so she doesn't have basic motor control at the moment, she is in serious danger.
If you were grinding against Nicolas Cage's big rod.
Oh, yeah. I would just be uncontrolled.
His drive shaft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that was good.
Sure. I agree.
She's just a slutty waitress at the Bull by the Balls, which is the bar that she works at.
I mean, how often is she going to meet a guy from out of town, let alone out of hell, I guess?
That's the other thing. This is the second waitress in the movie who has hit on Nicolas Cage really hard. The first being...
Well, he's the ultimate bad boy.
I mean, and the...
It's true.
I mean, this movie's probably based on the experiences of the screenwriter. He generally finds when he goes to diners that women throw themselves
at him.
Just
throw them at him and he's busy on his hell quest.
It's based on the experience.
That's what the movie should have been called.
Hell
to be
quest.
With you.
Well, because, yeah, there's not a lot of angry driving in this. There's.
Calm.
Yeah, like Vanishing Point is more angry driving than this.
Yeah.
There is, however, a lot of driving because one of my favorite things about the climax is, you know, like there's this big sacrifice going on. There's this helpless tiny baby at the center of the sacrifice. And Nicolas Cage says to William Fichtner, "Give me my keys." And he has to save the baby through the use of a car. He can't just go down there and like start a shootout.
He has a shootout with a bunch of cultists while driving around in a car, which, if anything, just impairs him the entire time.
I mean, it's not like he needs the protection of the vehicle. Like, he seems to be pretty fine.
He's immortal.
The other... We've mentioned that at no point was Nicolas Cage actually in any kind of danger. And in many ways, at no point was the child in that much danger. I mean, at all times, this baby that he's trying to save is being held by a female cultist who, when it comes down to it, they kind of address that she was never going to kill the baby.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have, like, even if the cult leader demanded it, she probably wouldn't have done it.
At the last minute, her maternal instincts are kicking in, and she's reluctant to give the baby to the cult leader.
So, I mean, she's in more ways kind of protecting the baby from Nicolas Cage than anything.
From the Hellman that just came
the
out?
Crazy Hellman, reckless driver.
Let's see. I'm going to hold the baby because there's a cult leader and a damned soul who are both trying to get it.
And the damn soul is driving around and randomly spraying gunfire.
Yes.
But now Amber Heard is protecting that baby, and she knows how to kick some ass.
Yeah, she has a fight with the cult leader on an RV, where the RV seems to grow in size in terms of the space inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tortoise.
Unlike the fight...
Dan, there's only a certain amount of room inside of a tortoise, just enough for the body to pull its legs and its head in. It's not like there's a whole house in there. It's not like Snoopy's doghouse.
I apologize. I don't know.
Are we talking about turtles again?
I knew what Dan was talking about. He meant Doctor Who's TARDIS.
Shouldn't we save this for the turtle cast?
The doctor. Come on.
The Doctor Who. Dr. Vangry.
Dr. Venkman?
Yes, Dr. Peter Venkman.
So, yeah, it's unlike, say, the fight scene in
words
in,
like
the,
other
In the second Kill Bill, where the fight in the RV, like,
which is a fantastic fight.
It was a fantastic fight, and they kind of play up the cramped confines of an RV. This movie, they kind of spread them out. They make people start flying out of windows and stuff.
Yeah.
Explode when cars run over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of – it's a movie that starts out kind of like – purposely going over the top, and then as it goes on, it's just like, we don't need to play by the rules anymore. We'll just kind of get loose. We'll get silly.
Let's go all the way to Cool World with this one.
Like a drive into Cool World.
Because I have to say, when the movie first started, it was trying a little too hard for my taste, but it wasn't necessarily bad. But there was something about it, like, it was too high production value.
Yeah, that's
movie.
What you were saying.
Yeah, it felt like this is a movie where, like, there's, like, a woman is in a fist fight with a nude woman, and then her boyfriend starts hitting her, and there's all sorts of, like, a car with a bumper sticker that says, "I break for pussy" and stuff. And it's like, a movie that has that stuff is less enjoyable when it's shot really well, I feel like.
Yeah,
when
you feel like people should know better.
Yes. Well, I want it to be, like, a sleazier movie.
Yeah.
To have a little more honesty to it, you know?
Or, I mean, to compare it, say, to, for instance, Kill Bill, which has similar elements. We're talking about a movie where the guy who made it is familiar with trash cinema and is going to, like, play up those tropes, whereas this guy probably doesn't have a lot of understanding of it.
I don't know. I don't know if that's
But it doesn't – at least whatever understanding he has does not show
no,
in the film.
He doesn't
like,
put it to work.
It's not shot like that.
Yeah. And when – well, this thing with Tarantino's like a special case because that feels like so much of his DNA, but at the same time he's combining it with non-trash movies.
Yeah.
Like he is – doing such a mix-em-up that he makes something new out of it, whereas here it felt like it was trying very hard
it's
to
like
be like...
movie girl talk.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't
Famous
get
it. Mashup artist girl talk.
Oh, okay, sure.
You gotta explain it to Elliot.
I thought you were talking about girl talk, talking about Dateline, the board game
if
for
it's
girls.
Not, if it's not mid to pre-80s hard rock or punk rock, Elliot's not going to know.
I don't understand it. Yeah. If it's not 30s jazz or 80s punk rock, I am not interested. But the Yeah, it was like it felt like someone trying to do something that they had seen somewhere else, but not quite knowing how to do it. You know,
it was in some ways like when we watched that Insane Clown Posse movie, where they
big money rustlers,
where it felt like they were trying to throw in jokes and stuff and be kind of raunchy,
yeah.
But they just came off as like.
Where they were familiar with the
filmmakers.
They were familiar with the idea of jokes.
Yes.
But they didn't know how to make jokes.
Like, yeah. This guy was familiar with the idea of sleazy and trashy, but he didn't actually know how to make a sleazy, trashy
film. It seems
film.
Like it's like, I got to make a movie where, like, there's a lot of fire and boobs and people say motherfucker a lot. And, like, that's – and there's one – and, like, people are – you know, there's a guy in a suit who says threatening things, but in a – calm way, like, we got to have all that stuff in there. Although he is the best character in the whole movie. But,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, every time he gets on the screen, you're like, oh, thank God, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he finds something. He, like,
even though plot-wise, nothing happens.
To do, like, he finds something interesting in every scene. He has a take on, like, this is a character you've seen 1,000 times before.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, this is the functionary from hell who's going to come in, and, you know, he's a menacing figure in a suit, but he finds, like, little. Like he acts like he is sort of a civil servant, and he's a little bored by what he's doing. But then, like, there's something off and crazy about the
yeah,
way he
and
goes
as the
about
movie
it.
Goes on, he's getting – you can see he's getting more and more enjoyment out of what
yeah.
he's doing. He's the only character who really has an arc in the movie, and it's a very
and
subtle
the only
arc.
Actor who seems to be having fun with being in the movie.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
All...
I don't know why he does movies anymore.
Yeah,
he just seems to hate all of them.
Nicolas Cage could easily have hammed this up a little bit more. Amber Heard – I don't know. I've only seen her in, like, one other movie. And David Morse was in it, and he's definitely had more fun in other movies.
Yeah, he's barely in this, though. The cult leader has a fair amount of fun. I don't know the actor's name.
He does a lot of soul patch acting.
I call him Joe Culty.
He's got an extravagant accent.
Joe Culty?
Southern.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a
yeah,
cartoony
I mean,
Southern
I wouldn't
accent.
Say that's that much of an accent. I mean,
it's extravagant,
kinda,
I'm saying.
I mean, but there's a
like
lot
Like, he
of...
spent a lot on it? Like, it was overpriced. I don't understand.
It's not a bargain.
like it's like you're buying a font.
Yeah, I don't get it. From Richard Starkings.
He bought the dialogue tapes. They were like an old high audio quality.
Oh.
It was like a gold CD.
It was like Rosetta Stone yeah. mobile fidelity.
That
gold.
Is not a bad save.
Yeah, sorry.
As far as a joke, but you know,
well, a little bit
I'll
of stretch.
Work on it.
You know what? Take the next week off. Obviously, you strained a joke muscle.
Sure. Your bench
tower.
I think your funny bone might have been fractured. Your bench. Bring in his replacement.
Thanks, Child's joke book.
Yep, Joyce Child's joke book. Anyway.
So are we tapped out on this? Maybe
no, I don't know about it. Well, we can go to final judgments, I guess, but there's
I mean, it's tough to make fun of Nicolas Cage because we've had a lot. I mean, we've made a lot of jokes.
He's like an old
expense.
Friend at this
yeah.
point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Nick.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
I
Nicky.
Feel like he's like part of my family at this point.
I wish he would just, you know, like, he would apply some of that Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans energy to this. I mean, I know that.
Even
when you're making a movie with
Sorcerer's
Werner Herzog,
Apprentice energy,
yeah.
you're gonna put a higher level of crazy into it. But I think
he does. He is a little too, especially considering his major villain, the accountant, is deliberately underplaying scenes. Nicolas Cage doesn't help the movie by underplaying so much.
All he's doing is putting on like a growly voice and a terrible Southern accent.
And in a
I mean,
movie,
that comes
and in a movie like this, where it's such like in many ways a tired idea of like. A supernatural guy comes from hell to, like, get revenge.
Yeah.
He needs to play it up more. Like, if you want to watch The Crow, you can watch The fucking Crow to see somebody who doesn't really act much. Have a fucking face paint.
Well, I mean, he doesn't act much now because he was killed.
Well, no,
the
I mean,
Crow.
But, like, in the movie, it,
I mean,
he's basically a guy
with
face
reasons
paint.
His career didn't take off after
sure,
The Crow.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry
too
to the
soon.
Family of Brandon Lee.
too
soon?
Too soon.
It's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years young.
So.
But yeah, it is a.
It could have used like a little more.
A little
like
more
character.
Juice.
Yeah.
Some vim.
Some vigor.
And I know he's got
some
it in
vinegar.
It.
Or piss.
Like, it's not like Nicolas Cage has been using it all up, making knowing.
No.
Like, even the energy brought to that movie where you could see a couple seconds in the future, what was that?
The Next.
Like, he had way more energy in that than this one.
Well, he believed in that project.
He's got more energy in this, though, than he did in Bangkok Dangerous. That was that's
Bangkok
the,
Dangerous.
That's the
it's like they got
it.
It's like they got the wax music, the wax statue of from Madame Tussauds, and like just posed it so it looked like it was moving.
I thought most of it they shot it while he was sleeping.
No, you're thinking of the movie While You Were Sleeping.
Bangkok Dangerous is the kind of movie where you're like, did Nicolas Cage die on the first day of filming and they just put sunglasses on him and moved him with wires like Bernie?
Bernie.
From Weekend At.
Oh.
Bernie's comma Weekend At. That's how I file
follow.
It. That's how I file it in my movie system.
Your Blu-ray collection.
Because yeah, Bernie's comma Weekend At, Bernie's 2 comma Weekend At, and then Birds comma The.
Well, that one's accurate. That's
and then
bistro, how a normal person
bistro
would
comma
that one.
Bikini.
Okay, that one again is crazy. I mean, like they're both B words, B I
it's
words.
Alphabetical.
So it doesn't.
It's alphabetical.
Bikini, comma the great bikini. Wait,
the
no,
great
I fucked it up.
Adventure, comma the great bikini off road.
Oh, no way we do complex jokes.
Instincts, comma animal. That's the best way to bring some life into old crappy movie titles.
Oh, we'll do more of this later.
Yeah, Tar comma ish. So it's a movie that could have used a little more real sleaze, and it could have used a little more energy.
Yes.
These movies are always helped by energy, and
real
frankly,
sleaze on HBO.
And frankly, helped by like if there have been. I mean, this is I feel like this is something we hit a lot, but. If there were practical special effects as opposed to computer special effects, even if they looked crappy, it would have been more fun than all these computer effects, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we can sort of zip through Final Judgments because I think we've already said it.
Final Judgments.
This is a good bad movie, a bad movie, or a movie you kind of liked, Elliot?
I will say this is a movie I kind of liked.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't totally satisfied by it, but there was enough in it that it wasn't like one of the movies we've watched where I've been like, oh god, when will this end?
Yeah,
this wasn't 7 pounds.
I'd actually go with that too. I mean, it really dragged in the middle. Like it really
it dragged
a lot
angry.
Of just like there are heart to heart conversations between Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard and Amber Heard and David Morse and David Morse and Nicolas Cage just did not need to be in this sort
the
of movie.
The movie forgot that we're not supposed to care that much.
But yep. But it was a movie with a bunch of muscle cars and William Fichtner and devil worshippers and naked ladies, so I kind
of
liked it.
So all of Dan's favorite things.
Yeah, it felt like there were scenes where Amber Heard's character is like, I either have to say, what next, and then make like a wry smile, or be like, have you been lying to me this whole time? Are you really not out of prison?
Yeah.
No, he's a devil man. We all know that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, for a movie that has such a simple plot,
he's devil man.
There was a lot of scenes where the characters went out of their way not to say what the plot was. He's a devil man?
Devilman MD. Yeah.
Dr. Vangry and Devilman MD, they share an office. Bernard Devilman.
No, but I'll
Devilman MD
guys.
To OR3.
This is, I would rank this between. Right around where Next is, but better than Ghost Rider.
Okay.
In the Nicolas Cage movies, you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, all movies.
In the Cagetorium.
Is that where
no,
he lives?
No, what do we do, Dan?
There's like a little bit of grass to simulate a natural environment, like a hot rock
yep.
to warm himself on in the Cagetorium?
It's a terrarium type thing.
Cagerarium.
Cagerarium, sure.
The Cage.
Nice. So
well, it's because his name's Cage, and that's the same thing you put an animal in.
Yep.
So
you unraveled that mystery. Solve that riddle. I'll have to give you my magic ring now.
Where'd you park your squad car, Dick Tracy?
Now all I need is an amulet, and I'm good to go.
So this is the part of the show where we talk about letters that we have received.
All right. That was a slow build-up.
This first letter, is from Eric, last name withheld.
Yeah.
And it says...
Yeah, Elliot, what are you doing over there?
Wow. You, ruined the,
We can edit this part out. I was getting my list of movies I've seen recently so I can look up what I'm going to recommend later.
Okay. So this is from Eric, last name withheld. And it says, thought I'd just drop a line that you do a good show. I'm Eric with We Hate Movies, which is another NYC-based comedy bad movie podcast.
Woo!
Awesome about the
live
event. Yeah! We're going to
New York!
We're also going to try and do a live event. Great Selection 2. My favorite Barbarian Brothers movie, Think Big.
Wrong. Your favorite is Twin Sitters.
So, there's your free plug. We hate movies. Look them up online. But I mainly read this letter just so we could segue into our own plug. Which is for the live Flophouse event.
Live Flophouse!
June 30th, Thursday.
Twin Sitters.
Twin Sitters, live. I mean, we'll be live. Twin Sitters is the movie.
Night Tribeca. Becca, Becca.
200 Hudson Street, Manhattan, New York, California.
Do you want to hear us ruin a movie by talking over it?
Meet our wives. Hear how much they dislike the things we do.
And look at us irritated while we ask them questions.
Also featuring Senya Yaro and Matt Carman of I Love Bad Movies, The Zine.
Go to www.flophousepodcast.com for more info.
Man, so or we did some great voices just then.
Yeah, sure. Or you can also go to 92ytribeca.org and in their film section, they should have it.
Or go to Elliot's Facebook page.
I don't think it's listed there.
Dan's Facebook
page? I think the last time I updated Facebook page was to Facebook page was
go to his page.
Change my status from single to married. Yeah.
Look at all the posts on Elliot's wall, none of which are from Elliot.
None of which I've ever seen.
Facebook's
for losers.
Click ignore.
So this next email is from Carrie, last name withheld, and it is
I'm going to assume it's Carrie Strug, Olympic athlete.
Yeah. It's titled Beverage
Carrie
Credits.
Fisher.
Carrie Fisher.
One of
beverage credits?
Beverage credits. One of my favorite aspects of the Flophouse is the subtle audio cues of inebriation. Ice cubes clinking, occasional sipping noises, urination references, slurred speech, etc. It would greatly enhance my enjoyment of the podcast if there was a beverage roll call at the end of each episode, preferably with a blood alcohol level posted. So, well, we got to, I mean,
I think you'd be disappointed.
Elliot is nearly teetotal. So he.
I just drink water during the podcast. Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of juniper juice or maybe mint leaves.
But I've been doing reds and yellows all day.
Stuart has a reputation as the heaviest drinker in the Flophouse, but I don't think that's been true for a while.
No, I've kind of fallen
cut
off.
Back.
Yeah, I've cut back
for health reasons.
I brought it back.
Yeah, you brought it back with a vengeance.
Yep.
Tonight, what would the beverage roll call be?
I think I had four bottles of Coors Light.
Yeah.
So
and when I was more depressed. I probably drank the heaviest of the three of us, but
sure, now I'm sad.
Now that I need to have my wits about me in the mornings, I've had two beers, one during the movie and one during the podcast.
And what were those beers?
They were a Long Hammer IPA.
Was that so public offering?
Mm.
Long Hammer IPO?
Yes. There's a
so
beer.
That's what we were drinking.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Wow.
All your questions have been answered.
Stuart got really bored.
Yep.
In there.
That's what happens when you have a couple of beers and only eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for dinner.
So what an alcoholic child would have.
So, this letter is...
That's what I'm going to have engraved on my tombstone.
An alcoholic child.
Either that or pepperoni and cheese.
I thought I was going to say Stuart Wellington. Wait, what?
What? Is this a bit?
Is this a bit?
Is this kind of bit?
That'd be a great epitaph, actually. Yeah. Is this a bit? This one is from Sarah, last name withheld, and it says...
Probably your wife.
Missing cat, question mark?
Dan, it's your wife. Is our cat missing? Love your wife. P.S. I don't love you.
P.S. Stop doing that stupid podcast. In our
P.S.
Property.
I don't love you is the sequel to the original, or...
Sequel to P.S. I love you.
She says, I just started listening to the Flophouse and quickly fell in love with it. You should probably find a human man to be in love with, but...
No, stick with the podcast.
My job is...
Podcast will never leave you.
we're inside your head. My job...
That was way more sexy than mine.
That was... I don't know.
My job is incredibly boring. The Flophouse is the one thing that has been keeping me from attempting a lobotomy on myself. However, I feel that I should mention...
She's a brain surgeon.
that I've noticed lately that the Flophouse...
A loosening of the trying.
house
not
cat.
As much trying. I've noticed lately that you fellows are slipping in the area of trying hard. Anyway, we're saying.
She's noticed that the Flophouse house cat has been largely absent as of late. I took it upon myself to report this to the ASPCA, as I'm afraid some tragedy has befallen him, or her, why not? I informed them that...
oh, no, he's a man, all right.
That should the Flophouse house cat make an appearance on the podcast by July 31st, I will know that nothing foul is afoot, and I'll call them off. Well, I think that'll
I heard him a little bit ago.
Yeah, he stopped by earlier in the episode, I believe.
Then he fucked off.
Although we could have a contest, where is the Flophouse house cat?
Sure.
Yeah, it was like when I went to go see...
Well, nobody's joined the other contest, so...
It was like when I was a little kid and I went to go see Sesame Street Live and Big Bird just fucked off and, like, disappeared.
Really?
Yeah, it really bothered me when I was a kid. I left the theater.
Okay.
You stormed out.
Yeah,
and
I stormed out to go find that guy.
Panned it in your theater column in the Children's Review.
Yeah.
In your newspaper that you would sell for a nickel to all your neighbors.
A nickel?
So,
can you tell me how to get away from Sesame Street by Lil Stuart Wellington? Lil Stewie Wellington.
She also asked, though, as a cat lover, I must ask exactly what kind of cat she is.
Contest.
His her yowl sounds strange to me. I envision a patchy-furred, peg-legged creature with a patch over one eye.
Like
essentially
an Apache?
A cat pirate.
So like some kind of an Indian?
An Apache pirate cat.
Yeah.
So somehow basically, I feel this Calico might be Jack. What?
Somehow I feel this might be off mark, but let me know. I don't know. That's pretty accurate.
I always imagined he had a beer in his hand, backwards baseball cap, skateboard, sunglasses.
Sure. Yeah, and he wears fucking Converse All-Stars with the toes fucking ripped out.
Yeah,
so
the tongues are all crazy.
Stick out. Yeah.
He's basically a real-life riffraff in the Junkyard Gang.
Patchy fur, though, is correct.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
a lot of scrapping.
And it's also, it's nerves. Like, he's nervous. Yeah. He really cares a lot about what his fans think.
Yeah.
And that
also
shows,
years of partying.
Yeah, and years of partying, clearly.
Yeah.
Mange.
So if anyone would like to show us what they think the Flophouse house cat looks like, contest.
You can draw a picture, or I'll just show you, I'll actually... put a photoshopped picture because he has this contract where we're not allowed to actually show his actual image.
Yeah, he's like Thomas Pynchon.
Yes. Whoever that person is.
It's like J.D. Saladvar. The famous reclusive author / family restaurant.
That was from Mad Magazine's literary offshoot. Dad Magazine?
Dan Magazine.
Dan Magazine. So,
The 2011 sighs are here.
This one is...
sighing.
Like, no, I got not sighs of like...
Not like the sighs. I realized there was words that sounded the same. Mm-hmm. Words that sound like other words, if you will.
Well, this plays into the next letter. This is from John, last name withheld. And I'll read the postscript. I'm going to read the postscript first because it's a good transition. John says, P.S. Remind Elliot that the correct alternate URL for the website is wordssoundlikeeacher.com.
Oh, wordssoundlikeeacher.
Not words that sound the same or any less funny variant.
Ooh.
The actual URL ridicules what certain floppers seem to consider a profound comedic realization. I shouldn't have to explain this to Elliot, professional comedy writer Kalen. If I can remember that he's got two T's at the end of his first name,
Woo!
The least he can do is remember the joke URL for his own website.
You're apparently the only person in the world who remembers I have two T's at the end of my first name.
Yeah, do you want to call out your buddy, your famous author buddy?
Let's hear the rest of the letter by Dr. Batitude over here.
So,
so sassy, man. What do you have to say? The guy who can't talk back?
What Dr. Batitude has to say is...
I wonder if he and Vangry know each other, see each other at conventions and conferences.
He says, I knew it would happen, but I didn't think it would happen so fast. Dan's new job has changed him.
Oh.
The first clue was when Dan cheerfully endured almost 7 minutes, 7 pounds, of intentional derailment from his co-hosts at the start of the show with nary a mournful sigh and without getting angry once. Then, during final judgment, Dan was so high on life that he couldn't even bring himself to issue an unequivocal bad, bad movie verdict for the roommate. Finally,
that's true.
There was Dan's clever segue... at 33:12, during the discussion of the roommate, which begins, and I quote, "Oh, speaking of this movie, by the way, We Flophouse audience don't ask for much from our Dans. A few mournful sighs, a bit of ennui with an undercurrent of bitterness, and some simple hosting and recording functions. But this new Dan, now employed by a major national television program, seems almost cheerful. Worse, he has apparently lost the ability to execute even the most rudimentary podcast hosting maneuvers.
Like introducing the podcast? Yeah. Or remembering the name of the movie? Sure. Rather just saying vroom vroom. Like a child.
Please bring back the old
Dan. No, a child would have done it slightly better, to be honest with you.
Please bring back the old
Dan.
Call
a spade a spade.
Or at least find some way to tamp his spirit back down to pre-The Daily Show levels. Well, I'm sure it'll happen in time.
So the sass level from that letter is
off the charts. Off the charts.
Sure. My EKG meter just read a million sass points.
What are those points in Bratitude spellcasting points?
Two and a half.
What about
maybe.
Wormy boners?
It's 10 wormy boners.
There's no consistency across these.
These rating systems, it's like the formula that you must use to compare the rankings is so elaborate. I don't know how you can do it in your head so quickly.
You're like a beautiful mind-level genius.
Yes. I am. I'm a beautiful wormy boner.
The original title.
Eva Goldsman. So, original title. Beautiful mind. 10 wormy boners.
Yeah. So that letter writer makes a lot of good points, though, which is, Dan, I think you should sacrifice your own personal happiness for the sake of this podcast.
This unpaid podcast.
So you, what, but what you're trying to say is that
reached mainstream popularity.
Hey, that's not our fault. Yes, it is, I guess.
But what you're trying to say is that Dan's employment is directly related to his happiness. I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think we can find other ways. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a happiness bubble.
Friendship.
That's inflated, and I think it's going to burst at some point.
Oh.
I mean, we can focus on our relationship with Dan. I mean.
That's true.
Like, take him out to the park. Run him around.
Let him run around. We're really going to take him to the vet. But we'll take him to the park. Yeah, Dan, you want to go to the park?
Maybe take him to a farmer's
estate. You know, vroom, vroom?
This is supposed to make me sadder.
Hey, vroom, vroom. You said that earlier.
It'll be sad when you find out you're actually going to the vet.
Okay.
That was a callback, Ellie. Just did the vroom, vroom thing.
Back comic call.
You like that. You like comic stuff.
My new.
Man, you got so serious all of a sudden.
Dan Vroom Vroom McCoy. Sure. I like that.
Yeah, like a Tex Avery character.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, as soon as Elliot and my relationship dissolves
from overseeing
sharing,
each other.
Sharing
too much
not stuff. An office space, but down the hall office.
Yeah.
It'll you know, this podcast will get more contentious. There'll be more sighing.
Eventually I'll force you out, though. Yep. I'll still make you record the podcast.
Sure.
When I bring in our new co-host, who's your enemy? Let's just say Carrot Top. Carrot Top.
Okay. I think that's a cheap joke. You could have gone with, I don't know, Harlan Williams.
French Stewart.
French Stewart. You know, I think French Stewart would. I mean, that's a pretty good Dan.
Let's try
like
him.
A look.
Let's try him. And then we could. But it's too close to Stuart Wellington, French Stewart.
That's true.
Confuse people.
Get confused.
Yeah.
French
well,
Stewart.
Well, then we get the French Stewart Wellington in here. Yeah.
Wellington. Stuart Wellington.
Yeah, not funny. Guys.
Is this a bit?
Yeah.
Is this a bit?
No, wait, why don't we
what?
Move on?
Wait,
Rawr.
What?
I
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Let's see how you say Wilmy Bonnets.
Le chat du chalet.
Just move on. No, that's hilarious, guys. Let's just keep going. Okay.
I will have a Coors Light.
It would be like Coors in that case.
Oh.
Come on, dude.
I don't speak French.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Okay.
Well, you got to pick on me tonight.
Let's do movie recommendations and then get off this crazy train.
Yeah. This crazy podcast train. It's driving so angry.
Yeah.
What are you going to recommend, Dan?
Oh, okay. I saw a lot of movies this last weekend. I'll single out two quickly. The aforementioned Ksenia Yarosh recommended a movie called Make Out with Violence on Matt Bird's blog,
cockeyedcaravan.blogspot.com.
And I watched it and I enjoyed it. It's sort of like a Wes Anderson meets Terrence Malick film, but with a zombie in it. And that was a delight. And it also had a good soundtrack. I ordered the soundtrack actually after seeing it. And I also, for the first time, saw the movie The Edge.
Which with the bear.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Which I enjoyed, like, on one level just as, like, a regular action movie. And then on another level, just thinking how ridiculous it was that David Mamet wrote a movie about Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins fighting a bear. And so it's good fun. It's on Netflix. Watch instantly now.
Stuart? Oh, me?
Or I can go if you want.
You can go. I'll go last.
I
a good one.
Didn't see anything recently that I really loved. I did see Cave of Forgotten Dreams the other night, and I enjoyed that. But it loses points for repetition and an unnecessary epilogue about albino alligators, which has nothing to do with,
sounds
with
like
the cave.
It should add points.
Actually, it does add points a little bit. There's... But actually, you know what? I'll recommend that movie.
Okay.
Cave of Forgotten Dreams, Werner Herzog documentary about the oldest cave paintings in the world.
A better 3D movie than Drive Angry 3D, would you say?
I actually didn't get to see it in 3D.
Oh, wow.
But it was a very interesting movie, and the cave paintings are amazing.
And how is Nicolas Cage in it?
He's in the role of not in the movie. He does very well.
Sure.
And it's a fun – it's a good Werner Herzog movie. It's a little slow at times. But one of the things that's fun about it is how goofy the scientists are who are studying this cave. They're all kind of weirdos. And then at the end, Werner Herzog – it's like it's almost like Herzog was like, I don't know. I haven't really been enough myself this movie. So he does an epilogue all about albino alligators that – where are we the albino alligators looking into the abyss? And it doesn't really make any sense, but it's a fun moment. But I enjoyed that movie. I did like it.
So I got two recommendations tonight, guys. The first one is a movie called Castle Freak.
Let me guess the other one. Does it have an invisible maniac in it?
No. First off, Castle Freak, go watch it. It's got a...
How many times have you recommended Castle Freak?
It's got a Castle Freak in it.
Well,
Freak come a castle.
It's about a family who inherits a castle. Guess what? Guess what that castle has inside it, Dan?
A freak?
How'd you guess?
It's in the title, I know. It's great. A dude rips off his own ding-dong. It's awesome. The second movie I like...
Stuart looks more in a movie.
Stuart somehow managed just to find something new to say about Castle Freak over and over again.
Oh, man. So the second movie I'd like to recommend is a movie called Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No. All right.
It is a...
I can't veto your recommendations, I guess.
It is a movie where these aliens who look like clowns come and murder people.
The Chiodo brothers.
Yep, Chiodo brothers.
Does anyone rip their ding-dong off?
Nobody rips off any ding-dongs.
But there are killer clowns in it.
Yep.
And they spell clowns with a K.
Space,
yeah,
comma, killer clowns,
yeah, it's
from
like,
outer.
Like Mortal Kombat.
I'm going to recommend the movie Gun Crazy to balance out those two recommendations, which is a very good crime movie from the 40s.
Yeah, that is a very good movie.
It's really good about a doomed relationship.
But are
Bonnie
there
and Clyde
clowns?
Owes a lot to it. There are no killer clowns, and no one's ding-dong is ripped off. But Gun Crazy is what I'll recommend.
All right.
And Castle Freak.
Hi, guys.
I feel like we have to do a flophouse about Castle Freak some one of these days.
Well,
I would love to give it another view.
I think we should sign off so we can turn the air conditioner back on.
If you freak one castle this summer.
Castle Freak 3D, starring Keanu Reeves and Jeffrey Combs.
Which is the castle, which is the freak?
It'll be awesome. So, what are we talking about
now?
I'm
saying goodnight.
Okay.
For the Flophouse, goodnight. I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
I'll check tomorrow, but I'm pretty sure I'll still be Elliot Kalin.
See you later, buddies.
I don't care, man. I'll just talk.
Let's talk for a while.
We'll remember
now.
It. Okay. Blah, 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 blah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Funny stuff.
Jokes. Joke 'em ups.
Laugh
and...
Olympics. Laugh Olympics.
An Olympics.
So once again, I
wacky
need to point
racers.
Out, I met a grown man. I met a human being named Rufio, and I don't think it was the character from the movie.
It wasn't the character from the movie because he's dead.